Of the sermon on it. Thank you, JM. If you haven't got a copy, do put your hand up and JM will gladly bring one to you. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Arian. I'm the pastor here at Clinician. It's lovely to have you with us. Lovely to see regulars. Lovely to see newcomers amongst us today as well. Special welcome to you. Now, I want to start with a Who Am I quiz. So I've got some clues that I'm going to put onto the screen. Once you think you know the answer, if you raise your hand, and we'll see how many of us can get it right by the end. Here's clue number one. My story has been told for centuries, but historians still debate how much of the story is true. Could be a few options there. No one's put their hand up yet. I'm neither fully hero nor fully villain in the eyes of the law. Clue number three, I became famous without being a king, knight, or prince. Well, there's a hand. Oh, Portia thinks she's got it. My enemies had authority, but I had the support of the ordinary people. I chose the woodland over the comfort of a house. Keep your hands up if you think you know what it is. A few going up now. My stories often involve disguises, tricks, and daring escapes. And lastly, hopefully you haven't got it by now, I'm known for stealing from the rich and to give to the poor. The answer is, of course, Robin Hood. And his weapon of choice? That wasn't rhetorical. You were meant to, you know, heartily say a bow and arrow. Robin Hood, of course, famous for his accuracy in hitting the mark when it comes to a bow and an arrow. Now, in modern days, we're more used to archery as a kind of activity, a game like this. Perhaps if you've been on camp the last few weeks, you've done archery as an activity. But back in the day, a set of skilled archers was just what an army general would have wanted. They could cause havoc, chaos on the battlefield, sending up barrages of arrows to rain down on the enemy. And when they hit their mark, they were highly effective and devastating on the battlefield. Now that picture, rather than this one, that picture is what we need to have in mind as we come to our verse for today in Ephesians chapter 6. Except rather than being on the sending end of those arrows, if you're a Christian here this morning, you are in fact on the receiving end of what can be at times a barrage of arrows in this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. That's what this series over the summer has been all about. We've been in Ephesians 6, reminding us that as Christians, we're at war, not with flesh and blood, but we're in a spiritual battle. But God has given us what we need for it. But when these arrows come, when that barrage of arrows come, when they hit their mark in our hearts or in our minds, they can be highly effective. They can be devastating. They can cause havoc. They can cause carnage. They can cause chaos in our Christian lives and in this race that we're called to. And so, given that is the truth, given that's the reality, we need to know how to defend ourselves as Christians. And thankfully, God has given us just what we need. He's kind like that, isn't he? Our Heavenly Father. He knows what we face. He knows the struggles we have. He knows the battles that we're in. And he gives us just what we need in order to thrive spiritually, in order to live for him. And so let's discover what this fourth piece of armor is in the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and to verse 16. Oh, I forgot to show you my lovely selection of Robin Hood's portrayals in TV and film. Anyway, back to the matter in hand. Let's go to verse 16, where Paul says this. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let me read that again. It's only a short verse. Perhaps you want to learn it this week. It's such a short verse that it would be a great one to kind of commit to memory over this coming week. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. 2 points to take us through this morning. The first is this. As we consider this armor of God and this shield of faith that we're to take up, there are arrows of fire. Arrows of fire. Let's work backwards through this verse. Because the verse ends with talking about the flaming arrows of the evil one. The evil one from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. The Bible uses lots of different titles, names to describe this evil one, or the devil, or Satan. Satan, the name Satan means adversary or enemy. And it's a good name because it sums up really who Satan is, what he's all about. He is the enemy of God. He is the adversary of God. He is against God and against all those who are for God, all those who are Christians. Perhaps children, you won't quite follow this phrase, but maybe some of the grown-ups will understand it. He is the ultimate personification of evil. You think of the worst thing that there possibly could be, the most evil thing, the most evil being. This is it. Satan, the devil, the evil one. That word devil that we get in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it means slanderer. He's a liar. In fact, he's called the father of lies in John chapter 8, verse 44. And even things they haven't done wrong. He's described as the one who masquerades as an angel of underneath. What is he? Well, elsewhere he's described as one who prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for prey to devour. He is a formidable enemy. He is a nasty piece of work. And just to underline 3 times in thick red pen, for any who might be tempted to dabble in the occult, be warned. This is the being that you're dabbling with. This is the one you're coming perhaps even face to face with. Be warned that this is what the Bible describes about the kind of being Satan, the great enemy of God and the great enemy of God's people, really is. And for those of you who aren't yet Christians here this morning, the Bible clearly teaches that this is the side that you're on. You see, of the two sides that there are, there's God's side and there's Satan's side. And if you've not yet crossed over to be on God's side, the Bible clearly teaches you are in fact in league with Satan. You may be unaware of that this morning, but until now. But that is what the Bible clearly teaches. There are only two sides to be on. There is no middle ground. You're either with God or you're with Satan. If you're against God, you're with Satan. But the good news of Christianity is that Jesus has come. Jesus has come into this world and he has come to set us free from the power of the evil one. Jesus Christ has triumphed. He has triumphed over the evil one through his death on the cross. He has triumphed to set us free from our own sin and from the bondage of the devil over our lives. And we can cross over. We can switch sides. We can come to God's team, as it were, if we put our trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. If we ask him to forgive us for all that we have done wrong, we can cross over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The Bible also warns of Satan's ultimate end. His days are numbered. God will one day punish him for all the havoc that he has caused in this world. But the Bible's clear that those who have sided with Satan will also face his judgment. And so, the invitation, the call, the warning of this passage is to come and cross over to the one who has already defeated Satan, to come and rest secure in his hands as we put our faith in Christ. Do so today. make Christ your king. For the evil one is a formidable enemy, and you don't want to side with him. And Paul describes here in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 16 that it is Satan, the evil one, the devil, is the one who fires flaming arrows at Christians. That word is fairly broad, that word arrow, to any sort of missile. So an arrow, a dart, a spear, a javelin, anything that flies through the air as a weapon, whether by bow or by hand. But of course, we're not talking about physical weapons here. We're talking about spiritual ones. Spiritual weapons used to assault the Christian. And they're flaming ones as well. It's only a tiny little match that I'm going to light this morning. But if I put my hand on that, it's going to hurt, isn't it? Imagine there's a flaming arrow that is being piercing, and put out before the fire alarm goes off, that pierces armor. It does damage. They're flaming arrows. They're hostile. They're destructive in nature. Satan is out to do harm to Christians. And he wants to harm us in any way he can, especially spiritually, but anyway. Anything is at his disposal in order to harm Christians. And one of his main tactics to do so is to plant destructive and deceptive thoughts in our minds and in our hearts. Think of Ananias and Sapphira for a moment. Some of us who are doing lunch and look at the Bible, we're plowing through Acts, aren't we? We did this just before the summer in Acts chapter 5. And it says there, they're asked the question, how is it that Satan has filled your heart so that you may lie to the Holy Spirit? Satan has that ability to plant thoughts into our minds, into our hearts. Such an assault can come at the most unsuspecting of times. Perhaps you've had this experience. When you wake up first thing in the morning, and immediately a terrible thought has entered into your mind about someone or about God, or an overwhelming temptation to sin coming out of nowhere. They can come out of nowhere as a spur of a moment. They often come when we're tired, when we're not quite with it, maybe early in the morning or late at night, or when we're particularly down for some reason. They're not always from the devil, but they can be. And those fiery arrows, they're designed to trip us up. They're designed to trick. They're designed to deceive. They're designed to tempt. They're designed to derail us from the Christian life. But they're lies. And they're lies that come from the father of lies. I spent some time thinking this week with the help of some others in the church of what I think are many of the lies that generally us as this church are tempted to believe. And I'm going to need some help from some of the children because I'm going to fire some of these lies. Don't worry, they're not flaming this morning. And I need you to help retrieve them. So who wants this one? Yeah, go on then, Oshan. I mean, John Davis put his hand up there. So go on then, Oshan. Come and fetch this one. Go on then. Hopefully we're going to make sure we don't hit anyone. Fionn, you can take this one. Oshan, go out the way, please. There we go, you can take that one. Who wants the next one, Amelia? Make sure you get out of the way once I've fired them. There we go. Karis, I've only got one more after this, so make sure if you want it, Karis, do you want to come and get this one? And then one more. Go on then, Gethin. Karis, you can go and fetch that one. And this is yours, Gethin. See if I can get it just over Zelda's head. Do you think that will work? There we go. Managed to miss everyone. Great. Go and fetch them and then bring them back to me. And I need you to take off the lie that's on there, because there's a lie written on these arrows. And then we're going to read them out together. If you rip it a little bit, that's fine. Don't worry, that's it. Try and get the tape. Right, who's got number one?
No idea.
Well, number five's over here. Do you want to help, Oshan? You're going to have number one probably, aren't you?
One thing, this is a big thing.
That's okay.
Yeah, I've got
You got number three. Who's got number one? Number four. Either go on, then unravel it. Right, lies that I think that are often flaming arrows that the devil puts into our hearts and minds here at Clinician that perhaps some of us are tempted to think. Oshan, can you read out really loudly number one?
Your sin is too bad for God and your church to really love you.
Your sin is too bad for God and your church to really love you. Number two.
You've really made it in the Christian life.
You've really made it in the Christian life. You don't need to grow any further. You're fine just as you are. You've reached a degree of maturity, and that's okay now. You just need to carry on just as you are. Number three.
What particular sin? That particular sin you love isn't really that bad.
That particular sin you love. Isn't really that bad. There are worse sins, and other people in the church are committing worse sins, but that sin that you're struggling with, it's not actually that bad. It's okay for you to carry on with it. Number four. Can you read it, or do you want me to do it for you? Line number four. You're not really a Christian, especially because of those things that you think, especially because of that thing that you did. Because you've not made so much progress, you should be further along in the Christian life by now. You're not really a Christian. And number five.
You really need to move on from some of that old-fashioned stuff in the Bible.
Maybe some of that stuff in the Bible that talks about Jesus being the only way. Perhaps some of that stuff that makes us countercultural as Christians. You kind of need to leave that behind now. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. You can leave that behind, that old-fashioned stuff in the Bible. Move on to other things. Lies. Lies of the devil. Perhaps lies that you are particularly tempted to believe. Any of them hit home? One or more of them maybe hit home this morning? But such lies are so dangerous in the Christian life. They can lead us to be ineffective as Christians. They can set a bad example to other Christians, especially younger Christians in the church family. They can make us lukewarm in the Christian life, like those Christians of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. And so what can be done about it? What can be done to counter these lies that the devil sends at us as Christians so that we may stand? Well, we're about to find out. But first of all, we are going to sing our theme song for this series, Be Strong and Put On. So if I can invite you to come to your stand on your seats. Don't stand on your seats. So hopefully it gets into our heads, into our minds, into our hearts, so that we may remember, what do we need to do? Be strong. You've got it. Maybe in 6 months' time we'll come back to that verse, to that song, and you'll remember what we are called to do in the Christian life. Ephesians 6 has been so realistic, hasn't it? About the dangers that we find ourselves in as Christians. That we're in this spiritual battle. Perhaps you're unaware of that. Perhaps you'd forgotten of the spiritual battle that we find ourselves in as Christians. But equally, Ephesians 6 has been so refreshing. Because it's been giving us this armor that we are to put on so that we may stand in this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. Picture the scene for a moment. Of a soldier in the barracks, and laying on his bed in front of him is the armor laid out. So the belt of truth is there that he needs to put on, gathers everything in, prepares him for the battle. The belt of truth. God's word is truth. We need to listen to what he has told us in his truth. We need to put that on. Then there's the breastplate of righteousness sat there. The righteousness of Christ that is given to us so that we are declared righteous in God's eyes. And the righteousness that flows out of that, the righteousness given to us, and that righteousness that we are to live out in our Christian lives by grace. Then there are the shoes on the sides. We're to fit our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We looked at this last week. We have peace with God through the gospel. Jesus has won peace between Christians. There's a message of peace for this world around us. And the gospel of peace can bring us peace within. We need to put that readiness on. It makes us ready for the Christian life. It makes us ready for the battle as we remember the gospel of peace. And then next, this fourth piece of the armor. Let's go back to verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That, in addition to all of this, probably has the sense of, in every circumstance, take up the shield of faith. Not something we only need at certain times. We need to be constantly taking up that shield of faith as we stand firm. It's certainly not the most important piece of armor, as some translations suggest. Rather, we are to stand firm by taking up the shield of faith. Now, I'm sure you're wondering what's been to my left all this time hidden for you. I hope you're going to appreciate this. I didn't make it for before I say. But this is what a Roman shield would have looked like. Does anyone want to give it a go? Come on then, Fionn. This is what a Roman shield would have looked like. There's a handle in there for you. Can you go over by Becky over there? Is it too heavy for you, or are you okay? Now, what are you going to do, Fionn, if I threaten to shoot an arrow at you about like this? Perfect. Thanks, Fionn. You can bring it back over. Perfectly designed to deal with arrows that are thrown at a soldier. Perfectly designed so that a soldier can hide behind it, hide underneath it, as it were. That is what the image we're being given here is all about. We are to take up the shield, we're to hide behind it as these arrows of the evil one come towards us. So what is it? That imagery we're given, but sometimes it can be hard to take that next step to understand what is Paul actually on about. Well, it is the shield of faith. Or it is the shield that is faith. And so what is faith? Brothers and sisters, faith is looking to, relying on, and trusting in our God. Faith is looking to, relying on, and trusting in our God. So often in the Christian life, what we're tempted to do is look in. Look in of ourselves. When we're struggling in the battle, when those arrows come, we look inside of ourselves, or we look down and we look at the circumstance in front of us and we can't see anything else. Or in the context of Ephesians 6, we look at the arrows. We spend all our time thinking about the fiery arrows of the devil coming to our mind and coming into our hearts. What does Paul urge us to do? Take up the shield of faith. Look to, rely on, trust in our God. That is how we tackle the devil's arrows. Faith is always in something. Faith always has an object. We might put our faith in politicians. We might put our faith in ourselves. We might put our faith in our results. Some of you had results last week or coming up this week. We can put our faith in results. But faith here in Ephesians 6 is faith in God. It is looking to, relying on, trusting in our God. And so, brothers and sisters, when those fiery arrows come, whatever they might be for you, we take up the shield of faith by looking to, relying on, and trusting in our God. Here's what Andrew Lincoln said. If you're one who likes quotes, I think this is helpful, and he wrote a commentary on Ephesians. Faith takes hold of God's resources in the midst of the onslaught of evil and produces the firm resolve which douses everything the enemy throws at the believer. Let me read it again. Faith takes hold of God's resources in the midst of the onslaught of evil and produces the firm resolve which douses everything the enemy throws at the believer. But let's try to break that down a little bit further. Let's make this really practical. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of the devil's lies and battling them. You see, when the devil throws those, fires those arrows at us, we can think of God's personality. That is the character of God. We can think of his promises, and we can think of his power. His personality, what is God like? What are his attributes? What kind of God is he? And as we look to that, as we put our faith in him, we can show up the lie of the devil for what it really is. We dwell on the personality of God, the character of God, and his promises. What are some of the promises that he's made to us as believers? And how do those promises expose the lies of the devil to be what they really are? Lies. And then there's God's power. Flick back to Ephesians chapter 3 for a minute. I'm going to read from verse 16 through to 21. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is a powerful God, and he is working that power out in the life of a Christian. And so as we think about those fiery darts that are coming at us, how might God's power that is available to you by grace affect the way you think about those fiery darts? Now, we're going to do something that some of you will love and some of you will absolutely hate. Such is the lot of a pastor, and you can bring me your thoughts later. What I want you to do is I want you to pick one of those lies. I've added a few more on there. Or you could pick one of your own. And I want you to get together in groups of three or four around you, and I want you to consider for a minute, how does thinking about God's personality, his character, how do thinking about his promises and how does thinking about his power affect the way we think about those lies? Perhaps choose one of those lies. Maybe it's one that you're particularly struggling with. And then see if your brothers and sisters can help you to think about God's personality, his promises, and his power to help you unpick and extinguish those lies that Satan sends to us. If you still haven't understood what I'm talking about, on your sheets at the bottom is a little bit of an explanation again. So we'll have 5 or so minutes. Find 3 or 4 people around you. Make sure if there's someone behind you that they're involved as well, please. Pick one of the lies and then have a chat about how God's character, his promises, and his power help us to extinguish these lies of the devil. Go. You're allowed 30 more seconds. Okay, let's try and tackle one of them. Does someone want to pick one? Maybe one that you did in your group? Who's going to be brave? Arshan, what one did you do? You've forgotten? Anyone else want to share? So, okay, number 5, you really need to move on from some of the old-fashioned stuff in the Bible. Okay, so what does it look like for us to think about what God is like, his personality or his promises or his power, as we try to unpick and then extinguish that lie? Anyone else do that one? Stick your hands up if you tackle that one. A few of you did. Got anything to share on those, between those groups? So anyone else feel to chip in? Feel free to chip in. Yeah. The old-fashioned stuff, yeah, that in the sense of the what we get told in God's words. Yeah, sometimes we can add things onto that. Sometimes there are traditions that we make to be God's word. But yeah, certainly if it's old-fashioned, but what God tells us, well, what? How does thinking about God's personality? Yes, James?
God doesn't change, right? So we can, you know, the times change and our opinions change and what's popular and trendy changes. But God never changes. And so it's safer for us to stick with God than it is with the times.
Yeah. Yes, Sarah? Yeah. We need to be careful as we apply that in today's society, yes, but God's word stands forever. His word is eternal. He's eternal. So if things are changing, it's us, not him. What about his promises? I guess what's perhaps if you dig into that lie, I think what's probably behind it is I'm actually getting some pressure from outside to conform, to be like the society around me. And so what are some of God's promises that can help us in that kind of situation? Yeah, Amelia? Yeah, whatever God says, he means it and he's going to do it. Yeah, just to echo back what Portia's saying, Jesus has told us that we'll be persecuted for what we believe. In a weird way, that's a promise. So we need to be ready for how we're going to be living in a countercultural way in this society. But I guess alongside that, what else has God promised? We're going to be persecuted, but one... Let's stick with this one. I think we're only going to have time to tackle one, but if we want to chat, well, can I encourage you to continue to chat about these after church? But let's just stick with this number five for a moment. So yes, we're going to be persecuted, but one of the promises of God is that in persecution, where is he? He's with us. He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to leave us. So when we might feel like we're on our own, or maybe that's part of the lie that's being told here, we remember actually God's promised to be with us, even in the middle of persecution. What about his power?
God commands it for our good as well.
Yeah, so that would come, I guess that would come into both of the first two, wouldn't it? God's character, he's giving us something that's good, and he's promised his goodness being with us was one of his promises, and it will be for our goods. What about his power, Amelia? Yeah, so remembering that promise that he's going to be by our sides, and his power that's at work within us, he promises to give us whatever we need to live the Christian life. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, empowering us for that. Guys, I hope that's actually been a really helpful exercise for us to go through, a really practical way to deal with these arrows that the devil sends to us. Because it's as we do this kind of thing that we take up that shield of faith, that we look to, that we rely on, that we trust in our God. Which means, verse 16 again, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Each word is important in that phrase. You can do it. You will have the power to extinguish. You'll have the power to extinguish them so that they don't harm you, they don't impact you in the way that they so often do. It's an assured result. And it's all of them. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. No lie of the devil is too big for the shield of faith to prevail. Why? Because the God in whom our faith is greater than the devil who shoots those flaming arrows. Let me say that again. No lie of the devil is too big for the shield of faith to prevail, because the God in whom our faith is in is greater than the devil who shoots those flaming arrows. But as with each piece of the armor, we've got to put it on. Imagine you sign up for a half marathon. The entrance fee is paid for. The kit has been paid for. The personal trainer has been paid for. The time off work or school has been sorted. How are you going to run that race to the best of your ability if you do not use what has been given to you? Likewise, we are in a race, a Christian race. We are in a battle, a spiritual battle. God has given us the armor that we need for it. We need to put it on. In the words of Captain America, it's time to suit up with what God has given us so that we may stand firm in the battle that we find ourselves in.